specimen, who met the man, certainly considered him purely and simply fraudulent, and if a man is known to have cheated once, it is reasonable to suppose that he might have cheated more than once, but it is not reasonable to allege that he cheated all the time. In the case of Myra Beeley, this has not been proven, and it is just as reasonable to suppose that a medium whose powers are not always available when needed will try to perpetuate his reputation by any means available. Stars of sport and entertainment have been known to have their off days, or carry on well past their sell-by dates. Also, as a lawyer friend of mine pointed out, if you want to debunk somebody like Myra Beeley, you have to find normal explanations for everything he is alleged to have done. I find it unlikely that Myra Beeley was a total fraud. The testimony of his family and close friends is too abundant and too consistent, especially that of the two of his sons I was able to interview, as is that of at least one of his enemies, the orthodox spiritist Carlos Imbasui. Brazilian spiritists feel that Myra Beeley broke some of their basic rules by charging for his services, which he definitely did at times, and by allowing a personality cult to grow around him, yet he was not a bad man. He never did anybody any harm, to my knowledge, and he unquestionably brought much comfort and inspiration into the lives of a large number of people. He made a great many converts to Spiritism, and he would not be the first evangelist to use dubious means to further a praiseworthy end. Alan Kardec, who had a great deal of experience of mediumistic phenomena, was one of the first to point out that the quality of such phenomena depends on the personal qualities of the medium. It is a case of like attracting like. Exalted spirits, therefore, will be attracted to such developed and self-effacing mediums as Paik Sotino or Chico Xavier. Mischievous ones will fasten on to less developed extroverts like Myra Beeley, while the lowest form of spirit life will gravitate towards those unfortunate neurotics who keep turning up on poltergeist cases. There is nothing inferior spirits enjoy more than a good joke, says Kardec. I often wonder which they find most hilarious, the faithful spiritists who swallow everything offered them as the literal truth, the parapsychologist who ransacks libraries in search of rational and materialist explanations for innocent spirit pranks, or the researcher who never could figure out how a blackboard went round and round on top of a bottle. 3. Otilia Diago. Now we come to one of the most lamentable chapters in the brief history of psychical research in Brazil. It concerns the widely publicized full-form materializations of a certain Sister Josepha, plus assorted Indians and discarnate doctors, through the mediumship of a woman named Otilia Diago. I include this episode to show that fraudulent mediums do stand a reasonable chance of being found out and exposed in Brazil, where some might have reason to suppose at this stage that anything goes, and that Lincoln was wrong in claiming that all the people cannot be fooled all the time. The story began hitting headlines all over the country towards the end of 1963, after a picture magazine had announced that a team of 10 doctors had just scientifically proved some 15 types of psychic phenomena, the most dramatic, and photogenic, being the materialization of Sister Josepha. She was said to be an Italian-born nun who died in 1946, after a lifetime of charitable work which had made her widely loved. 1. The 10 doctors, all named, occupied prominent positions in their respective fields. Most of them came from Uberaba, where the sessions took place, though one or two were from São Paulo, one being a hospital director from the interior of the state. Their credentials seemed impeccable, especially those of the group's spokesman, Dr. Waldo Vieira, a long-time friend and associate of the one and only Chico Xavier, about whom no suggestion of personal dishonesty had ever been made even by the severest critics of Spiritism. Dr. Vieira, among his other good works, ran a private clinic in Uberaba that was a kind of one-man welfare service. The sign outside the door simply read Dr. Waldo Vieira. Free consultations. In addition to being a fully qualified doctor, Vieira was an articulate and intelligent man who gave every impression of being devoted to the task of establishing spiritist phenomena by careful scientific methods. He was also one of the country's best-known automatic writers next to Chico Xavier, with whom he had collaborated on several books. All the right precautions seemed to have been taken. The medium, a 50-year-old mother of two children who claimed to be, of all things, the daughter of the beloved sister Josepha, had been given the full treatment. She had been searched, chained to her chair, even enclosed in a cage, while everybody present had also been searched and forbidden to bring anything in except essential clothing and spectacles. A total of about 400 photographs had been taken of paranormal phenomena, to be included in a large book that Vieira hoped would become a classic of correct and methodical research by qualified experts into the phenomenon of physical effects mediumship. He made it clear that his interest in studying such a subject was in finding ways to cure sick on a large scale with help from the spirit world. There was no suggestion that he sought to gain personally by exploiting Otelia Diego or anyone else. He accepted no money either for his medical or writing work, and was widely known as a model of militant spiritist charity. So far, so good. Brazil seemed to be entering the dawn of a new era of revelations, with Vieira as the Brazilian crooks. The whole materialization thing was being brought out in public, and about time too. A television program shown in November 1963 increased public interest, and soon afterwards the weekly magazine O Cruzeiro joined in the fun, sending a reporter to Ubra to see what was going on. This magazine, at that time the widest read in Brazil, devoted 14 pages of an early 1964 edition to the story. This was entirely based, as the magazine took pains to point out, on materials supplied by the doctors themselves. Two, Dr. Vieira and his colleagues can scarcely have hoped to deceive a magazine like O Cruzeiro, pioneer of Brazilian photojournalism which specialized in general muckraking and would certainly not hesitate to expose any fraud that came its way. The magazine was invited to send a reporter and a photographer to attend a special session, the sixth in the Sister Josepha series. When, accordingly, six writers and photographers instead of the two invited turned up on Dr. Vieira's doorstep, they were well received and somehow fitted into the small session room. Everything went wrong from the start. The way the reporters described it, the doctor's examination of the medium was a complete fuss. Her clothes were given a summary patting, a suspicious bulge around her middle was left unexplained, she refused to remove her underwear alleging that she was menstruating at the time, and she was allowed to go to the bathroom unaccompanied. An experienced investigator at this stage would probably have taken the next bus out of Ubra. But worse was to come. The journalists claimed they were refused permission to spread talcum powder on the floor of the medium's cabin, to check for footprints. They were told that the cage, through which Sister Josepha had been apparently passing in some of the photographs taken at previous sessions, would not be used again because it put the medium off. They were told they could only take pictures themselves when given permission. Anyway, the session began and Otelia duly did her stuff. Compared to the phenomena witnessed around the mediumship of Peixotino and Fabio Mercado, second-rate stuff it was. Whereas Sheila and her friends had managed to materialize luminously, make uplifting speeches, treat the sick and generally radiate goodwill as well as make themselves useful, the supposed Sister Josepha evidently assumed that the medium was the whole message. She restricted her performance to stumbling round the room, occasionally striking a pose for the photographers, and muttering a few words of greeting. The good sister, who had died in 1946, even pretended not to know what a reporter was. The reporters, however, thought they knew what a phony medium was when they saw one, and at the end of the session they unanimously announced that they considered the whole show a fraud. Dr. Vieira took this quite calmly, and offered to arrange as many more sessions as you like until you are convinced. But O Cruzeiro had had enough. Otelia Diego's face duly made the cover of the magazine. In fact it appeared twice on the same cover, once as herself and once, in color, as Sister Josepha. The color film clearly brought out the familiar features of the medium behind her veil, with her long pointed nose and tightly set lips. Not satisfied with this revelation, the magazine called upon a top criminologist to examine the photos from earlier sessions, and also a piece of thread they claimed to have found in the medium's cabin after the session. The expert had no difficulty in reaching a verdict of total fraud. Among many other incriminating details, he pointed out that the medium's large bunion on her left foot was all too plainly visible on the alleged Dr. Veloso, who also seemed to have unusually large breasts for a man. The final blow was struck 6 years later, after, unbelievable as it may seem, Diego had managed to continue her career on the less respectable branches of the spiritist circuit, even making something of a comeback in the eyes of the diehard faithful. The IBPP has a picture taken at one of these post-tube robber sessions, in which the medium is wearing a thick sweater, although the audience is in its shirt sleeves, and his the most obvious looking roll of bandage stuffed up her nostril. Many photos of ectoplasm look like fakes, but this one especially so. I have never seen anything of its kind less convincing. The man who finally claimed to have unmasked the old trooper was a well-known Sao Paulo plastic surgeon, who had gone along to see the show at the center in Campinas where Otelia was then working. He must have been quite impressed by what he saw, for when the medium later asked him to give her a facelift, he agreed to do so free of charge, and invited her to stay at his home. The medium got her face job, and naturally offered a performance in exchange. The surgeon noticed that all the time she was in his house, she never let her little black suitcase out of her sight. Very suspicious. After the performance, the medium had a few scotches, something orthodox mediums never do, and finally staggered off to bed after acting in a generally strange manner. The doctor decided to have a look inside that black bag at all costs. With his wife, he searched Octalia's bedroom for the key to no avail. Then his wife poked under the cushion of the snoring medium and found it tucked away there. The case was opened, and there it all was, the complete do-it-yourself materialization kit, veils, robes, harmonica, crucifix, ether and perfume sprays. The whole works. The following morning, Otelia Diego awoke to find the doctor and his family surrounding her bed. Spread out on the floor, like the exhibits in a criminal case, were the contents of her precious black bag. She sprang out of bed, crying, "Sister Josepha, why have you forsaken me?" And bursting into a flood of insults and abuse, only calming down when the disgusted doctor threatened to hand her over to the police without more ado. Finally, when she saw the game was up, out came the confession: "I lost my mediumship in 1965, but I thought I should go on doing materializations. I didn't want anybody to notice. I did exercises, training my arms and legs for some time, until I felt I could go back to work. I know none of it was true, but I went on." Then, pointing to the remains of her stage props lying on the floor, she made one final plea: "Do me a favor. Burn the lot." 3. It only remained for a cruzeiro to make the 500-mile trek from Rio de Janeiro to Ubraba once more, to see what Chico Xavier had to say about the affair, now that it seemed to be over once and for all. Chico had been closely involved in the original sessions, and had been photographed holding the shrouded hand of the apparition. He was a close friend of Dr. Vieira, with whom he had collaborated on 17 books, and he was Brazil's best-known and most highly respected medium. The reporters expected a hostile reception, but were warmly greeted by Chico, whose kindness of heart seemed inexhaustible. He had no objections at all to giving his views on the affair at great length, answering all their questions without hesitation. He was prepared to admit that there had been fraud, but was adamant in insisting that Otelia Diego had been genuine to start with. "This is perfectly possible. She would not be the first medium thought to have had a record of fraud preceded by honesty. Mediumship," Chico explained, "is like a strong flow of water that is suitable for the production of energy. If a hydroelectric power plant is not constructed, this force is lost in nature, when it might be serving mankind." Otelia's spiritual power plant had to be reconstructed, he said, so that she could carry on with her work. Chico not only made it clear that she was welcome in Ubrebo at any time to start all over again, but even invited the reporters to come back and attend any future sessions with her. For, nearly 10 years after the original Ubrebo sessions, I managed to locate one of the original team of doctors involved, who now holds a lecturing post at a leading Sao Paulo state hospital. I was in for a surprise. Otelia Diogo was the greatest Brazilian medium of all time, he told me at once. The only fraud involved was on the part of the press, which set out to destroy her from the start, just as they tried to destroy Arrigate Hilda Cubed, or any other medium who becomes too well known. But, I objected, the photographs clearly showed that she was genuine. The doctor interrupted sternly. Look at the photo where she is supposed to be kneeling, as the caption says. She wasn't kneeling at all, but materialized in miniature. I duly checked my files, and the picture he mentioned did indeed look more like a miniature figure than a full-sized kneeling one. But then there was the unmistakable resemblance between the faces of the medium and the supposed sister Josepha. Mediums' features can be materialized in their spirit doubles on occasions, the doctor replied. You'll find historical precedents for that. He was right again. I looked where he told me to look, and found an account of the extraordinary experiences of a young school teacher named Emilia Sag, who lost her job at a girls' school in Latvia in 1846, because she had the disconcerting habit of appearing in front of her classes beside herself, her second body being identical with the first. The bewildered pupils could not tell which was which. Upon being fired, Miss Sag had exclaimed, "Oh, I can't bear it. This is the 19th time. This is a well-documented case, which was observed over an 18-month period by an entire school, staff and pupils." 5. The doctor also drew my attention to a statement that had been issued by his colleagues shortly after the original O Cruzeiro denunciation, which the magazine had not published and which had attracted little attention. The statement contained items that must be taken into account before any attempt to solve the great Ubrebo mystery. 6. Among them, Otelia Diogo had been found securely bound after the session, with the marked seals still in place. No reporter had found any of the clothing allegedly used during the materializations, although they searched the whole house for it. While doing so, they did find a small crucifix which they had not found previously. Searching of persons attending the session had been thorough, no flasks or bottles allowed, yet there had been a strong smell of roses and ether during the phenomena. The fact that the medium's features resembled those of the supposed spirit proved nothing. Not only Exekov but also Crooks, Richey and Lombroso had witnessed similar duplication effects. The doctors pointed out 9 incorrect statements in the reporter's copy, noting that they had not even been able to measure the room correctly, and accusing them of providing the piece of thread they had sent for analysis themselves. Ectoplasm does not leave threads behind, they claimed. Furthermore, they pointed to several discrepancies in the 6 reporters' original statements. Finally, they stated that they had publicly invited the reporters to take part in a TV debate, but their invitation had been declined. Otelia Diogo, like Myra Bealey, undoubtedly did cheat on occasions. But again, this is no proof whatsoever that she always did. I find it hard to believe that a total of 19 qualified doctors who attended one or other of the original 5 sessions can all have been deceived. At no stage was their behavior suspicious. They never sought publicity in the first place but made no objections when it sought them. As far as I have been able to gather, phenomena witnessed at the first 5 sessions were far more impressive than those produced for the reporters from O Cruzeiro. Can this be a case of what Barrett meant, as I have already suggested, of investigators unconsciously producing the fraud they are looking for? The moral of this sad little story seems to be that, as every serious investigator is well aware, fraud must always be borne in mind as a possibility when researching any form of paranormal phenomenon. Not only on the part of the medium, I might add, but also on the part of the investigators. Part 2. 1. Psychic surgery. Early in the 1960s, reports began to come from both Brazil and the Philippines of a phenomenon that most sane people still have no difficulty in finding totally unbelievable: psychic surgery, or actual operations on human bodies by untrained surgeons. The two most widely publicized practitioners of this bizarre profession have been the Brazilian known as Arigatilda Cubed, who died in 1971, and a Filipina named Tony Agpaoa. Conditions for research into psychic surgery seem to be much better in the Philippines than they are in Brazil, and in 1966 the veteran researcher Harold Sherman produced the first major study of the subject, based on his own amazing experiences with Agpaoa and other healers who worked within, or in association with, the large Filipino spiritist movement. Meanwhile, another enterprising American researcher, Dr. Andrea Puharich, was making several visits to Brazil to observe Arigatilda Cubed, though he was to withhold publication of his findings for several years. 1.2. Psychic surgeons differ from other types of unorthodox healer in that they actually seem to perform surgical interventions on the human body while in a state of trance and under the control of a guiding spirit. In the case of Arigatilda Cubed, this was a certain Dr. Adolf Fritz. They may use conventional surgical equipment, ordinary kitchen knives and nail scissors, or in some cases nothing but their own bare hands. Investigating this particular field is no easy task. As in the case of flying saucers, seeing is not necessarily believing, and getting anybody else to believe is no easy task either. Psychic surgery is something you have to see for yourself, as I have on many occasions as both observer and patient, and have no doubt whatsoever that the phenomenon exists. It is often objected by skeptics that spiritist phenomena tend to be trivial. Many indeed are. But surely there is no human activity that is less trivial than our attempts to heal each other of disease? If there is any evidence at all, never mind about proof for the time being, that people can be cured of organic disease by methods not explicable in terms of our present knowledge, then these methods should be examined, however strange they may appear, and as we shall see, some of them appear to be very strange indeed. This is not easy. In unconventional healing, as for that matter in conventional healing, the problem is that without very full records of what was wrong with the patient to begin with, including x-rays and pathological sections, it can be practically impossible to judge whether the treatment has actually caused the improvement, or even if there has been any improvement at all other than in the mind of the patient, which may be all that was needed in the first place. In addition to faith and spirit healing, many other techniques have provided evidence for cure by seemingly inexplicable methods. Some of these, such as acupuncture, are now becoming widely accepted as normal by many conventional doctors in the West. Hypnosis is another, and in my opinion a very poorly understood and underutilized one. 3. Psychic surgery, however, is certainly not accepted as normal or even genuine except by those who have witnessed it. There are three separate questions to be asked here. Can people like Arigatilda Cubed and Agpaoa really operate on the physical body? Can they make accurate diagnoses? And can their patients get better as a direct result of their actions? The answer to all three questions is yes, though it cannot yet be said that repeatable proof of the latter assertion has yet been obtained under controlled conditions. What would constitute such proof? Surely there are enough case reports by now to convince anybody that Arigatilda Cubed, for one, really did cure people. Everybody in Brazil seems to know somebody's mother-in-law whose life was saved by him. Oh yes, they assure you, she was given up by all the doctors, but after Dr. Fritz had a go at her she fully recovered. She can tell you all about it. She can indeed, but in my experience she cannot prove anything. She may sincerely believe that she was cured of cancer or whatever, which in itself is something, but proof positive is something else. We will only have it when so many cases of psychic surgery have been witnessed by qualified doctors, before and after, and preferably also during, that it will be evident that there is some pattern behind its workings, and that it can be effective. When that day comes, There are plenty of open-minded doctors around, at least in Brazil, who will gladly put their official seal of approval on the findings of the researchers. I see no chance of such proof being forthcoming for many years. Let me give an idea of some of the problems involved. Many are similar to those of investigating any phenomena connected with spiritist mediums. When mediums become well known, they invariably become surrounded by a team of assistants whose duties include keeping people at arm's length, for like any other celebrity, the medium is constantly being pestered by seekers of favors. Everybody has a problem of some kind most of the time, and if there is a medium on hand who has the reputation of being able to help people, it is natural that demand will soon exceed availability. Having penetrated the protective ring around the medium, the researcher may find that the medium does not particularly want to be investigated. They have every right to feel this way, especially if they are doing something technically illegal like psychic surgery. Even if they show an interest in serious research, they may simply not have time to lend themselves to it. Moreover, the average spiritist in Brazil is none too concerned whether outsiders are convinced of the truths of their faith or not. They are the least aggressive of evangelists, and the most tolerant towards other beliefs, but however helpful they may wish to be, they cannot be expected to hand over their private centers for the purpose of full-scale research, especially if conducted by foreigners. It takes a great deal of time and patience even to get near a really outstanding medium, and stay near for any length of time. A special problem regarding psychic surgeons is that however obliging they may be as their normal selves, they seldom have the faintest idea what goes on when they are entranced and on the job, so are no more able to tell researchers what they do and how they do it than sleepwalkers are able to say where they have been when they wake up. Worse still, psychic surgeons tend to talk a lot of nonsense while in trance, as I have proved in one case by asking specially prepared questions to which the answers are not known, at least in this world. One of these questions concerned the production of antibodies, and the doctor who set the question for me commented on the lengthy and apparently complete reply. His remarks show that he, or whoever he gets it from, has absolutely no idea what antibodies are. Whatever else they may do, psychic surgeons are not likely to push back many frontiers of medical knowledge with their trance utterances. The fact that they are often astonishingly accurate when it comes to diagnosing does not make them omniscient, as they certainly can appear at times. I cannot estimate how many psychic surgeons there are or have been in Brazil. I have seen three at work, seen films of two more, and heard first-hand testimony of a sixth in addition to second-hand accounts of four or five more. None of the latter will be included here for lack of corroborative evidence. In the following chapters I will describe only those of whom I have either personal experience or for whom there is what I regard as trustworthy evidence. Now for a word about fraud, which applies to many phenomena described elsewhere in this book. The first thing that must be understood is that psychic gifts have been observed to come and go in cycles. Dr. J.B. Ryan has shown that there is a curve of decline and emergence in telepathy, and this also applies to psychic surgery and spiritist mediumship in general. In Zenicard guessing, the telepathy involved may come and go at short intervals, whereas with physical effects mediumship there may be a long period of supremacy followed by an equally long decline. Let us examine some of the factors that affect this curve of ups and downs, and see where the question of fraud comes in. Whatever the source of the extraordinary power that some psychic surgeons have been observed to possess may turn out to be, it seems clear that the moral character of the medium concerned has a great deal to do with its continuing supply. A basic tenet of Brazilian spiritism is that once you make use of your paranormal powers for your own benefit, you lose them. Its believers insist that one should freely give what one has freely received, and that under no circumstances at all should mediums charge money for their services. It is difficult to stop people giving presents to mediums, however, and only a man with the moral qualities of a Chico Xavier, who once gave away an expensive imported piano an admirer had sent him, although he loved music, can resist this form of temptation to acquire material riches. Mediums are only human, and the better they are at their job, the more people will want to give them presents. The more lavish these are, the greater their corrupting influence will be. A fondness for material wealth, even unasked, can have an effect on the curve of a medium's abilities. It is a tough vocation, making often unbearable demands on its practitioners, and once a medium's powers have declined, they tend to stay that way, possibly with occasional reminders of the old power. Perhaps the most important factor bearing on the curve of mediumistic ability is that of environment.